And yes, as you probably could have guessed by this moment, I have decided in 2020 to run for president.
Warning. The political trade features probabilities and perspectives about politicians, political parties, political outcomes, and political wagering. The political trade is rated NSFP, not safe for partisans.
Welcome back to The Political Trade, the podcast for people with a passion for politics, probability, and profits. I'm Jeff Joseph, editorial director of Luckbox Magazine, hosting the podcast where conservatives and liberals, Republicans and Democrats, partisans and wingnuts converge to make money betting on politics by trading in the prediction markets, the stock market for politics at predictit.org. This is TPT's 20th episode, and there's been a lot going on in the world of politics, so much of it has been moving the markets, and in this TPT installment, we're going to give you an overview of the stories you need to know and how they've been impacting pricing on Predictit. The fact is, we weren't planning on recording an episode today, but that changed last night around 8:30 p.m. Eastern Time with breaking news from Kanye West that he intends to enter the 2020 presidential race. Since Twitter and Predictit have lit up with speculation, so to get the most out of this podcast, open up predictit.org, click on the Markets tab, top left, follow along, and leave your political ideologies at the door. I'm joined by Mike Reddy. Mike is an editor at Luckbox Magazine, a new prediction market trader, and the producer of The Political Trade, and today our news anchor. So Mike, what is our first story?
Well, Jeff, we're going to kick things off with state news, specifically in Kentucky. On Tuesday, June 23rd, Kentucky held some primaries. Republican incumbent Senator Mitch McConnell is up for re-election. McConnell, who served as the majority leader of the United States Senate since 2015, had an unsurprisingly strong showing. He received well over 340,000 votes, or 82.6% of the nearly 415,000 votes cast. Things were much closer on the Democratic side, however. Former Marine fighter pilot Amy McGrath had a close race against Kentucky House of Representatives member Charles Booker. Booker, at 35 years old, is currently the state's youngest black lawmaker. Now, in the end, it was McGrath who came out of the race victorious with a little over 15,000 more votes than Booker.
So that means McGrath will be facing off against McConnell on November 3rd for that coveted Senate seat.
That's right. And forecasters on Predictit give McConnell strong favorability in this race, in the which party will win the U.S. Senate election in Kentucky in 2020 market. Republicans are trading at 83 cents to the Democrats' 21 cents. So Jeff, McConnell, certainly a well-known figure in Republican politics. You think there's any chance that McGrath beats him in November?
Well, Booker surfed to a historic wave of outrage about police treatment of African Americans, and it made him competitive in that race, getting within 3% of the final vote total. And it seems pretty clear that if most ballots had been cast on primary day, as opposed to the earlier voting by absentee ballot, she probably would have lost. And that's amazing, considering that she raised more than $40 million, more than any other Senate candidate so far this year. But McGrath has no chance of denying one of the world's most powerful politicians a seventh, six-year term in a state that's elected Democrat senators not since 28 years ago.
Still, traders on Predictit give McGrath a 21% forecasted probability of pulling through. If you had to make a trade in that market, do you think you would buy the 83-cent Republican? Yes.
Donald Trump won the state by 30 points. I'm buying the yes.
Well, let's turn to Colorado. Colorado held a Senate primary this past Tuesday, the 30th. Incumbent Republican Senator Cory Gardner is up for re-election. Now, the former chair of the National Republican Senatorial Committee went uncontested for the GOP primary. Gardner's going to have to face off against the state's former Democratic governor, John Hickenlooper, on November 3rd. With 96% of the vote reported at the time of this recording, Hickenlooper beat out the former Speaker of the Colorado House of Representatives, Andrew Romanoff, with 58.8% of the vote to Romanoff's 41.2%. Now, on Predict It, traders are betting with a strong showing for the Democrats in November in the which party will win the U.S. Senate election in Colorado in 2020 market. Democrats are trading at 87 cents to the Republicans 15 cents. So, Cory Gardner versus John Hickenlooper, what's your take?
Well, Hickenlooper is a former two-term governor, as you stated, and he had a short-lived campaign for the 2020 Democratic presidential nomination. The race is expected to be one of the Democratic Party's best opportunities to defeat an incumbent Republican on the quest to take back the Senate. Of course, Hillary Clinton carried the state in 2016, and Hickenlooper has made some missteps. You know, he said he tripped, was his word, when he said that Black Lives Matter means that every life matters. That has caused a little consternation among his supporters in the state. And Republicans have recently zeroed in on his ethics violations. The state's Independent Ethics Commission first found Hickenlooper in contempt for defying a subpoena to show up at a remote hearing. And then after that, they fined him twice for violating rules against accepting gifts when he was governor. Despite all that, Hickenlooper is a strong bet at current pricing at 87 cents.
I think that's a buy.
I think it is.
Well, let's turn to national news, specifically big shifts in presidential polling. President Donald Trump has been grappling with sinking polling numbers in recent weeks, notably including key battleground states he carried in 2016. Now, according to the New York Times Siena College polls of registered voters that was conducted from June 8th to June 18th, both Michigan and Wisconsin have Biden at an 11-point lead. Pennsylvania has him at a 10-point lead, North Carolina 9 points, Arizona 7, and Florida a 6-point lead. In Predict It's Who Will Win the 2020 U.S. Presidential Election market, presumptive Democratic nominee Joe Biden reached an all-time trading high on Friday, the 26th, at 63 cents, or a 63% probability of securing the presidency. Now today, Biden's trading at about 61 cents to Trump's 42. The polling dips have many possible explanations, including Trump's handling of the coronavirus, criminal justice, and the recent George Floyd protests. Still, there's more than enough time for the president to recover some ground before the election in November, but a recent controversy surrounding Russian bounties offered to militants for the slaying of U.S. troops, specifically in Afghanistan, isn't helping mend Trump's favorability with his veteran supporters. Trump denies ever being briefed on the secret Russian bounties.
You know, I think that story is going to end up resolving. It's either going to fade away or resolve slightly in his favor. Yesterday, the New York Times reported that the National Security Agency, NSA, said that they did not have information to support the CIA assessment at the same level of confidence. And then Politico reported as well that Pentagon spokesman John Hoffman said that the military continues to evaluate intelligence and that to date the Department of Defense has no corroborating evidence to validate those allegations. And I think you really have to question the logic of this story in general. This idea that the Taliban would need Russian money to kill Americans when the Taliban's been fighting the U.S. for nearly two decades now, it just seems a little off kilter. And the sourcing of the story, you know, it's kind of from an old playbook now. An anonymous intelligence official cites vague claims. Not a lot of reporting goes into it. The only source here has been anonymous American intelligence officials. And on the Sunday news shows this morning, you can already see this story seems to be fading pretty much in the background. But so I think that impact's going to fade away, but it doesn't help. Overall, you're right about your assessment of these numbers. You know, Pew's report came out today. Trump's approval declines to 39% as of today. A recent report from Pew, 59% disapprove. His job rating has fallen from 44% in April at 45% in March. In the national popular vote, according to Pew Research, Biden leads by 10 votes, 54 to 44. So these numbers are not moving well for him. I think predicted traders are probably looking closely at what we're seeing out of the Economist as well on their website. They're doing some really great electoral college analysis right now, and they are putting the likely electoral college outcome at 345 to 193 in favor of Biden. and they're giving Biden a 90% probability of a electoral college win. And they're giving him better than a 99% probability of winning the popular vote. So looking at the states that they're showing in play, very likely on the Democratic side, Michigan, Wisconsin, and Minnesota are all blue, according to The Economist. And in the likely category, Pennsylvania and Florida are blue. And in that scenario, there's not a chance that Trump is competitive.
Right. And I think it's fair to say that Russian bounties or not, this is just representative of a trend that's been sort of percolating for much longer since then. Trump's perhaps the most interesting part of all of this, though, is that Trump's low polling numbers have prompted a lot of speculation. Interestingly enough, coming out of Fox News, some Republican operatives are floating the possibility that Trump could drop out of the race if his polls don't bounce back toward his favor. And I know a previous guest of ours, James Carville, weighed in about a week ago speaking with Brian Williams. And, well, here's what he had to say.
James, it's good to see you. Give me some grizzled political wisdom. Do you believe a single poll out there?
Yes, I think there is a better chance that Donald Trump does not run for re-election than he's re-elected. There's no chance he's going to be re-elected.
No chance to be re-elected. Those are some pretty strong words, a big prediction. Others, such as Forbes contributor Seth Cohen, have suggested that Vice President Mike Pence could be replaced by Republican Representative Elise Stefanik in an effort to garner additional media appeal. Obviously, media attention, media support is something that Trump may be lacking, especially now. Trump's currently trading at 91 cents on Predictit's who will win the 2020 Republican presidential nomination market, and 92 cents in the will Donald Trump be the 2020 Republican nominee for president market. Meanwhile, Mike Pence is trading at 86 cents on Predictit's will Mike Pence be the 2020 Republican nominee for vice president market. So, Jeff, I got to ask you this. It's something that's been circulating quite a bit recently. Do you think there's any chance that Trump actually drops out of this race?
No chance. No chance at all. And Mike, as you so eloquently noted in a previous podcast, they've already made the trains, too. The Trump-Pence train is on track to at least be in the election in November. There's no chance of that happening, of him dropping off.
It's very late in the game to make such a rash decision. You got to think from the GOP's perspective, if they truly wanted to take Trump out of the race, who could they possibly replace him with? Who's going to garner enough support to have a serious shot at the presidency this late in the game?
It's the reason we're doing this podcast today. It's Kanye. It's the reason that we took our plan of spending friends and family time during the holiday to deal with breaking news that Kanye's getting in the race. So there is your answer there, Mike. He would step in for Trump. Kanye would lead the Republican ticket. What do you think the odds of that are?
Well, I don't know. You know, we're going to be talking about Kanye in a minute. That's one of our big news.
Well, will
items.
You hurry up with my damn croissants, in the words of Kanye? one of his better lyrics, by the way. Can we get to that story? Because that's really the big pressing story that we have to address. But what else
Absolutely.
Do you have for us?
Well, yes, before we get there, let's talk about sort of a new market on Predictit, the clean sweep market. So yes, the new market was introduced a few weeks ago, the Democratic clean sweep market, or more eloquently put, will Democrats win the White House, Senate, and House in 2020? Now, already nearly 91,000 shares have been traded in this market. The yes shares in the Democratic clean sweep market are currently trading at 55 cents. So I know you're more of a math guy than I am. Does any of this math make sense to you? Is it fair to say that there's a 55% probability of a Democratic clean sweep?
No, that's mispriced. And the math is relatively simple here. This is the equivalent of a parlay, right? It's a bet that relies on three outcomes. So in sports betting, sports parlance, it's called a parlay. And in a parlay, you have to win each one of the bets for the entire bet to come through. And that's why it usually delivers a higher return, because there's higher risk because you have to win multiple components. So let's look at the three components. There's, for a sweep to occur, it's 87% probability, according to Predictit, that the Democrats will retain the House, 63% probability that they'll win the Senate, and 62% probability that they'll win the White House. And this is just extrapolating the current pricing of
87 cents, 63 cents, and 62 cents to what it means in terms of the probability of that outcome occurring. But let's take one of those three off the table, because even though it's a 87% pricing for the Democrats to continue to control the House after the November election, we know that number should be 100%. That's just a mispriced opportunity, 13 cents on an 87 cent investment for the Dems to retain the House. So let's price that where it should be priced for probability assessment purposes at 100%. That leaves a two-play parlay. Two things have to occur to win the sweep bet. The Dems have to take control of the Senate, which means they have to flip four seats, and they have to win the White House. Those are priced currently, I'm predicted, at 63 and 62 cents, respectively. And whenever you're trying to determine the probability of a two-event outcome, you just simply multiply those fractions. So that would be 0.62, or 62 over 100, times 0.63. That comes out to 39% probability. So the odds of those two things resolving yes has a 30% probability, but the clean sweep market is being priced right now at 55 cents. That's a material overpricing relative to what the own market and its market's constituents are saying by how they have priced those two options. So that if you're an expected value bettor, you see that that's a mispricing, and you would buy the nose there. Because over time, that trade would resolve properly because the pricing is so far off.
Well, that's a good point. However, I'm going to play devil's advocate here. Let's assume that, a common theme that we've had on previous episodes is that there's a lot of partisan money on the platform. Now, if we were to take the words of, say, James Carville to heart and assume that there's a 100% chance that the Democrats are going to take the presidency as well, then suddenly the odds look more like it mainly hinges on the Senate market, which is, as you said, a 63% forecasted probability. Is there any argument there that perhaps it's undervalued? Maybe this should reflect a pricing closer to the Senate market?
No, because you just used the word assume in eliminating one of the two underlying options. So how many people predicted Trump's victory last time around?
That's a fair point.
So I don't think you can assign a 100% probability with 4 months to go in what will be a highly contested election. It just means it's mispriced. Remember, we believe in math here. So if you do the math and the probability, it's telling us specifically that those two things resolve to a 40% probability and not the 55 cents that it's currently priced at. It hasn't even factored in the Yeezy factor yet, which we'll get to. So technically, the expected value bet would be to buy the no, because if you continued with that discipline of recognizing a mispricing over time, that discipline would resolve to your advantage.
Fair enough. Can't argue with that.
At the very least, I think it's a good trade anyways to buy the no at its current pricing.
Very risky trade to buy and hold just because of all the moving parts and uncertainty that surrounds each one of these parts.
It's fair to say. What else do you have for us?
Yes, I want to turn to a story that I find particularly interesting, possibly a lockbox candidate, and that is the Democratic Convention. So NBC News reported that Joe Biden will accept the Democratic nomination at the convention, or I should say at a convention in Milwaukee. But that convention is going to be nearly all virtual due to obvious public health concerns. Now, the DNC is working on developing a process for delegates to cast their votes remotely, but particularly noteworthy for predicted traders, the convention, which was originally scheduled to take place at the Fiserv Forum, has been officially moved to the Wisconsin Center in downtown Milwaukee. Now, if you look at the "Will the Democratic Party hold its convention at the Fiserv Forum in Milwaukee" market on Predictit, yes, shares are still trading at 4 cents. In fact, they're up 1 cent on the day, even though it looks as though everything's pointing to official changes in those plans that it's going to take place at the Wisconsin Center. So at 96 cents for the no, is this a lockbox trade, do you think?
It is, absolutely. And that 96 cents pricing only exists because the yeses are trying to sell right now. and try to get out of what is clearly a losing position. But it's one of those gifts that occur unpredicted from time to time. So yes, there's an easy 4 cents to resolve there, and it's just sitting waiting to be taken. It's our lockbox trade of the day.
Well, full disclosure, I do have an open order to get some of those no shares, so I hope they get filled, because I don't know if there's anything more of a sure thing than this market here.
All right. Well, are we going to get to Kanye? Because, you know, I'm thinking about thinking about his lyrics, like, you know, couldn't afford a card, so she named her daughter Alexis. I mean, come on, we gotta get to this guy.
Well, why don't we take a quick break and we'll come back with the Kanye story.
All right, let's do it.
Want a little more luck in your life? Get Luckbox, the control freak's guide to life, money, and probability, named the best new magazine of 2019. Luckbox is a must-read for side hustlers, gamblers, entrepreneurs, and active investors. Each issue features best bets from prediction market experts, as well as timely sports wagering, stocks, options, futures, and cryptocurrency trading ideas. You can buy Luckbox on newsstands, but with this special offer, listeners of The Political Trade can receive a 10-issue digital subscription absolutely free. Just visit getluckbox.com to receive the award-winning magazine right in your inbox. Don't rely on luck. Get Luckbox for free today. Learn more at getluckbox.com.
And we're back, and as promised, we saved the best story for last. Kanye West is making international headlines as of last night and then again this morning. Mike, tell us the story.
Yep. We had some interesting political developments on the 4th of July, this little holiday weekend that we had. Rapper, singer, songwriter, record producer, composer, entrepreneur, and fashion designer, Kanye West.
And may I add, the composer of the lyrics, "Beggars can't be choosers, bitch, this ain't Chipotle."
Well, yes, Kanye West tweeted out at 8:30 p.m. Saturday night, the 4th of July, that he wants to run for president in 2020. Now, the tweet comes 4 months before the election, so he's got to get moving, and apparently without yet filing with the Federal Election Commission or creating a campaign committee. Now, West tweeted, quote, "We must now realize the promise of America by trusting God, unifying our vision, and building our future. I'm running for president of the United States," end quote. Now, already, West's tweet has been liked nearly a million times and retweeted more than 470,000 times. Seems he's already establishing his base. So both Twitter and the Predictit comment boards are on fire with speculation, both supportive and critical of the award-winning performer's potential presidential bid. Now, if you take a look at the price history on Predictit, in the "Will Kanye West Run for President in 2020 market, yes shares haven't traded above 4 cents in the 90 days leading up to last night, but following his announcement on Twitter, those yes shares sold as high as 63 cents, closing the day off at 47 cents. So today, those yes shares are trading around 34 cents, down 13 cents from yesterday. Jeff, what do you make of this?
Oh, this is an awesome market, first of all. And I was speaking with Scott Supak earlier this morning, who already got a piece of this market when the news broke out. He happened to be on the Predictit site, was able to buy at 50 and sell at 60, just within a couple cents of the high of yesterday. 62 was the highest print. But good, we're finally getting to the big story. Can we hear it a little bit? He has a new album coming out, right? The lead song is already dropped, called "Wash Us in the Blood." It features Travis Scott. It's about mass incarceration. Do you have a clip of it?
Sure.
Wash us in the blood, whole life being thugs. No choice selling drugs. Genocide, what it does. Mass incarceration, what it does. Cost of cost, what it does. Another life being lost.
Let it off, set it off. Execution 30 states. 30 states still execute. That should not kill. I should not spill. Next tales at the rendezvous.
Coming out, got already highly ranked on every platform. This it's going to be a big album. It's called God's Country, and it the first single was just released last week. So this is a lyrical genius. You know, I mean, you have a opportunity here. Could you imagine what these debates would be like, right? I mean, this is the man who said, in fact, I asked you to pull a clip from the song Wolves. Do you have that clip?
Oh, yes.
You try to play nice, everybody just took advantage. You left your fridge open, somebody just took a sandwich.
You left your fridge open, somebody just took a sandwich, which really rivals, you know, Paul McCartney as a lyricist. Someone's knock at the door, someone's ringing the bell. Do me a favor, let them in. I mean, this is good stuff here. So,
well, hey, Jeff, I don't think you can deny that Kanye West has got to be one of the most influential music artists of this generation. But I just don't know if that's enough to bring you to the presidency. I think this is a media ploy to get more attention to, as you mentioned, this new album that he is going to be releasing. But I understand some people are taking these tweets and the possibility of him running for president very seriously.
The conventional wisdom right out of the gate to assume that this is a promotion for God's Country, the new album that drops in a couple of weeks. But there are many political observers and analysts that are taking this very, very seriously. Our friend Rachel Bitticoffer, who was on The Political Trade just a couple episodes ago, is already in a spat on Twitter with Nate Silver from 538 just this morning. Silver was really dismissive about the announcement from West. But Bitticoffer said that her quote on Twitter was the Trump team wants to use him to siphon off 1-2%, and it won't take much. She went on to say, hopefully the Kanye West crap is a publicity stunt. He doesn't need ballot access. He's a celeb. So he poses a threat to Biden as a write-in because young people are stupid as hell. Not a lot will do it, but it wouldn't take much. So this has already kind of turned into a situation that many people are taking it seriously. And the reason why someone like Rachel Bitticoffer would take this seriously, who looks at the election numbers very, very closely, is she knows that there is a vulnerability right now on the Democratic side, and that's young male African-American voters. Black Americans are one of the Democratic Party's by far most loyal voting blocks, and Trump only won 8% of Black voters in 2016. But, you know, Biden has some issues there, including collaborating with segregationists in the Senate and sponsoring the 1994 federal crime bill. More recently, we know the Trump campaign is going to be making noise about him supporting China, joining the WTO, and supporting the war in Iraq. And surveys conducted this year by the Wall Street Journal, NBC, already show that 92% of Black women support Biden compared with 4% for Trump. But 80% of Black men back the Democrat and 12% support Trump. So his support among Black men is greater than Black women. More specifically, among Black men under 50, Biden's support dropped to 70%, with Trump getting 17%. So there is a vulnerability. It's been noted in the past. Bitticoffer herself has noted this previously. And it's well known within Democratic circles that they recognize that losing any material amount of a Black vote could potentially be a game changer. And it's a reason to take this seriously. Now, nobody thinks that Kanye is going to be president. And the real question, according to the predicted markets and what people are wagering on, is if he's even going to become a candidate. So let's go to the rules first, right? It's always the law. What do the rules say?
Well, before we get to the rules, I just have to bring up the point, though. It's hard for me to imagine Kanye siphoning votes away from anyone who would have any inclination to support Democrats. Now, my reasoning for that is Kanye has a history of being a somewhat ardent supporter of Trump. There are plenty of pictures of him sporting the Make America Great Again hat. I would think that this would only serve to hurt Trump more than Biden. How does that work out?
The numbers are showing up. Listen, I don't take him seriously as a candidate, but I take him seriously as his ability to attract attention and even attract votes. So there's a reason there are 1 million likes and 500,000 retweets. There's actually some interest in him. Elon Musk immediately responded by saying, "You have my full support." That was his Twitter endorsement. Later on, Mark Cuban said, "If there was ranked choice voting available and Kanye West was on the ballot with Joe Biden and Donald Trump, I would have Kanye West ahead of Donald Trump." Rose McGowan, some other celebrities already said, "You have my backing as well." So there's actually a reason to take this a little bit more seriously. At the very least, it's a terrific promotion for him. of an upcoming album. I think that's what we have to look at first and foremost. I mean, he is an accomplished promoter as much as he is a musician. In terms of top-selling rappers of all time, Kanye's number three in terms of records sold. You know, Eminem is first, 220 million records sold. Drake is second, and Kanye's third at 135. So we have to take him seriously from that perspective. Now, more specifically, people are noting that it's too late to get on the ballot as an independent voter in New York, in Texas, North Carolina, Indiana, Minnesota, New Mexico. In those seven states, the ship has already sailed, but there are 43 states that he could get on the ballot. And Ballotpedia reported just this morning that there is a candidate in the FEC database, the Federal Election Commission database, under the Green Party that's named Kanye D's Nuts West. And next to him shows $0. So the spelling is accurate, and it looks like, you know, this is an interesting wager, and that's all we're really contemplating is, will he fulfill the rules? So what do the rules say? What is this bet here?
Yes, well, it's interesting that you brought that up, because I'm not sure that's his actual middle name. In fact, looking to the rules, the predicted rules state hip-hop producer Kanye Omari West.
That's his legal name, but
yes,
I think we know comfortably that he's not Yee or Yeez or Yeezy or Christian Genius or the greatest artist of all time. Those are all names that he's referred to himself as. His real name is Omari.
So West shall become a candidate for president of the United States in the 2020 general election by filing a statement of candidacy and or a statement of organization of an exploratory committee for the office of president with the Federal Election Commission. Absent such filings, the market will not resolve to yes, notwithstanding declarations by Mr. West and or his representatives regarding intentions to run. So those are the rules.
Well, this market, as we speak, is up to 41 cents on the day, which is a new high. It's traded in the low teens, and it's back up to 41. And remember, what's so interesting about this market is it existed for the last 9 months. So there's currently about 400 markets unpredicted. This was one of the quiet ones that was sitting there. Will Kanye West run for president in 2020? He was sitting at about 3 cents for the last 3 months, just quietly. And then yesterday at 8:30, this thing shot up into the low 60s and then backed off to the teens this morning. And now it's trading back up to 41 cents. And I'm sure there's Twitter activity on this while we speak. It did make the Sunday news shows today. There was a mention on Meet the Press of this as well. And remember, he gave a kind of a heads up on this back in the 2015 MTV Video Music Awards, where he said that he'd be running for president in 2020. So I think we have something that's going to be entertaining to watch. At the very least, it's an interesting predicted market, one that was likely going to have some good volatility until his intentions become clearer. If I were forced to bet in this market, I would take the yeses and not the noes. I think I would not, although it just plays so perfectly as a promotion of an upcoming album and to attract attention.
If nothing else, he's very well positioned to be a position candidate. You know, I think you're right. There may be a good chance he actually files and winds up a potential candidate on the ballots.
And keep in mind that he has some money to play with. You know, the reports of his financial demise were premature and greatly exaggerated. He just ended up back on the Forbes list of a billionaire. He's got $1.3 billion, $21 million in real estate, a $3.6 million car collection, and even $300,000 worth of livestock was on his asset asset return. So he has money to actually, you know, make an investment and perhaps make a difference in siphoning some votes off. The big question is, you know, what are we looking at here? Is this a coordinated plan, as many are theorizing, with the Trump campaign to siphon off votes from Biden, or is this just about promoting himself? We'll see. No one really knows, but it's a fun trade to watch, and it's a great trading market. I think the best way to approach this market right now is to swing trade it, identify the extremes, you know, as some traders clearly did this morning. by buying in the teens, and now we're up to 40 cents. You know, people have doubled and tripled their money just this morning. This might be a market to take a good look at. At the very least, it's going to be a lot of fun. And speaking of trading, if you don't have an account at Predictit, if you're not already taking an advantage of what we talk about every episode on the political trade, we do have $20 for you. You can take advantage of the trade shared by our guests by going to predictit.org/promo/TPT20. Sign up, deposit $20, and we'll match that first $20 you deposited. That's predictit.org/promo/TPT20. Deposit $20. You have $40 to trade with. It's that simple to sign up and trade along. That's going to wrap up today's news roundup. Thanks for tuning into The Political Trade and joining us on this journey to 20 episodes. Tell your friends about us and make sure that you subscribe and review the show wherever you listen to podcasts. Also, please check out thepoliticaltrade.com to sign up for our newsletter, find us on social media, or simply send us a message. It's all at thepoliticaltrade.com. And Mike, before we go out, do you have any other announcements?
Yeah, just a couple announcements for our listeners. Of course, the new issue of Luckbox Magazine is now available digitally. It includes a really great article written by Derek Phillips about his experiences trading in the Democratic VP market, what he looks for, and essentially what's still out there to trade on, as well as three trades that he hasn't discussed on the air with us in any previous episode. So definitely something worth checking out. You can go to getluckbox.com/TPT to check that out and get a free digital subscription to the magazine. Also, just offering a little look behind the TPT curtain. I know we haven't done this for a while, but we now have listeners in 95 countries around the globe. So that's a very interesting sort of stat there, especially considering not all these countries can trade on the markets in Predictit. So a little interesting interesting look there. A couple upcoming guests to talk about here. We're getting David Beiler, who's a data analyst and political columnist for the Washington Post. Beiler recently appeared on Predictit's fourth installment of its Predictit Happy Hour. So if you haven't checked that out, it's definitely worth a listen. Very interesting, very well-spoken guy with some really great takes. We also have some big-name trader guests in the works. Longtime Predictit traders will know the handle Base Level pretty well. He's currently ranked 51st in Predictit's leaderboards among all predictors for the past year. He's got a 642.2% ROI, so you know he knows what he's talking about. All that and more coming up in future episodes of The Political Trade.
That's terrific, and I'm definitely looking forward to Base Level. We've been speaking with him about that episode, and it's going to be fun. He's encouraged us to make sure we're drinking during that episode, so we'll have a little scotch and bourbon tasting to correspond with that. So look forward to having him on. He's going to be a great guest. So that's great. So let's keep an eye on Yeezy. That's a good thing to do. That's my advice to listeners. This is Jeff Joseph.
And I'm Mike Reddy.
And remember to believe in math. Don't believe in politicians. Master the trade. And join us next time on The Political Trade.
Am the number one most impactful artist of our generation. I am Shakespeare in the flesh, Walt Disney.